Dude, we got to do better now.
What do you mean?
Like, we're an award-winning podcast.
Oh,
the people
you
are
heard
expecting
about
award-winning
that?
Content. Of course I heard about it. It's on the fridge.
Right. When we won, I personally voted that it should be headline news. But, you know, you win some and you lose some. And some of what you win is an award for best podcast.
You know, and now we got to show them why we're the best. Like, the intro's got to be a banger. The people are expecting greatness right now.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking we could hit them with something like... What's going on, Titans? Welcome back to another episode of Daily Titan Podcast, or DT Pod for short. On today's episode of the award-winning podcast, we're going to be going over a story about budget cuts facing the CSU, two lifestyle stories about the Flying Samaritans Club, as well as the recent Black Amplified event, as well as an update on sports featuring softball. Stay tuned. And, you know, we also got to, like, introduce ourselves as, like,
right.
hosts of an award-winning, like, something like... And I'm one of your co-hosts of the award-winning podcast, Kabir Kansar, your news design editor, and I'm joined with...
And I'm the other co-host of the award-winning podcast, Jaden Lovelady, the opinion editor.
Banger intro. They're definitely going to want to hear that.
Yeah.
Dude, you'll never believe who we got as a guest this week.
Who?
We have 1/4 of the executive branch of the Daily Titan in here.
No! What, is it Isaiah Mallari?
You're like 25% chance you're right.
I'm going to put my money on Isaiah Mallari, our digital managing editor.
Guess what?
What?
You're right. It is
Dude.
Isaiah Mallari, our digital managing editor.
Dude.
Congratulations.
Thank
What's
you.
The prize?
Thank you.
Nothing.
Could the prize be talking about the story maybe you bylined?
Yes, actually.
Okay, awesome.
So what's the story you bylined?
So I co-aligned this story, the budget story, with our news editor, Michelle Kang. And we did a lot of digging this past couple of weeks, just looking into what our current budget status is for Cal State Fullerton and what happened with the Cal State Fullerton vice chancellor who is stepping down in later this summer.
Right. Yeah. And what did you find?
Yeah, so it's looking like, Cal State Fullerton president, Ron Roshan, he put out a statement in an email on February 25th, essentially giving like the goals that he wants to see out of the budget in the next fiscal year, which is 25 to 26.
Right.
For context, Gavin Newsom, he proposed this budget cut to the CSU's budget, about 8%, which would result in $375 million potentially being cut from the CSU budget, which could put, you know, precedent on, you know, the 23 CSU campuses to figure out how to figure out their finances and spending issues.
Right.
With Michelle's reporting, Sonoma State has, you know, already been kind of going through like financial issues in itself. They had to cut their D2 athletics program in response to lack of enrollments and also lack of funding from the CSU as well too. So several CSU campuses have already been kind of dealing with financial issues as it is. But Ron Roshan, he put out a statement on February 25th essentially saying that our reserves... one of the biggest things that he mentioned in that email was that Cal State Fullerton is going to continue to use its reserves to kind of help fund for a potential $29 million cut that Cal State Fullerton could face from the 8%, you know, proposed cut from Newsom.
Right. Is there anything that he's like looking to either draw back or cut financially?
Right now, well, in terms of layoffs and faculty, he's not expecting any layoffs in that sense in the next fiscal year. In terms of programs, he never mentioned specifically any programs in particular. But when it comes to budgets and campus budgets, and he mentioned this in the statement, is they're going to be looking at non-essential expenses. Some
that
of them
would be stuff like travel. And
travel,
like that, right?
Conferences, and also like hospitality, I believe was also listed as an example in that email. But that could overreach well into like certain programs on campus as well too.
Right.
But he never explicitly said anything about, you know, cutting programs on campus.
It's hard to tell too. This is all like still very theoretical. It's close, but still in the theoretical. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I talked to with Academic Senate Chair of Cal State Fullerton, Matthew Jarvis, their email.
Right.
And he mentioned how it's a really complex issue right now. The biggest people I could talk to would be like Alex Porter, which is our VP of finances here on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Even then, he never reached out, or the office never reached out back to us. The whole issue with this budget is that As a lot of these campuses are already facing financial issues, it's just a matter of what Cal State Fullerton plans on doing. And no one has a lot of ideas on what programs would be cut. CFA had some concerns when they put out a newsletter about, you know, faculty and like financial job safety. But other than that, no one knows much about the budget right now, other than obviously Gavin Newsom himself and state legislator.
Right.
Yeah. What are students' reactions to the budget cut being proposed like?
Yeah, so Kabir, you were able to join me in a couple of interviews with some of the students.
Yeah.
Some of the students that we've talked to, well, one of them was a comp sci major.
Yeah.
He was just really concerned with, you know, how funding into comp sci, the comp sci building and the programs on, for computer science would be funded.
Yeah.
What I will say, though, too, in this article that we wrote, our budget, about more than 50%, and this is from last fiscal year, more than 50% of our budget is coming from the state. So this would greatly impact how much money we get. But it's again, it's a huge question mark on whether or not certain colleges and departments on campus are going to be affected.
Yeah, right. It seems like a lot of students are kind of bracing for their program to be affected by it because
sure.
You don't know what's going on.
Yeah, for sure. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, definitely.
Obviously, I'm not an economic expert, so those are the right experts to talk to about this.
Right. It's always good to prepare, though, because, like, I mean, like we've said, like, it's not unpredictable, but it's all theoretical. So it is good to plan for the worst just in case.
Yeah, you know? And that's kind of what campus is kind of doing right now, is they're just prepping and planning.
Yeah.
For a potential cut. And Jarvis also brought this up too in the email. He was like, it's also just a matter of state legislator even like, because state legislation, they have to approve the budget on June 15th.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that the changes to the budget can happen in between now and June. So it could be an 8% cut, it could be a 6% cut to the CCU budget. It might not be as crazy as people think, or it might be even crazier than what people think. Time will tell until summer.
Right.
Yeah. But really what Rashawn and campus leaders are kind of doing right now is that it's looking like they're just prepping and planning on a potential giant cut. One of the things that they started doing, obviously, is creating the whole vice president of student enrollment management position, which Emily Wilson, our editor-in-chief, also reported on, too. And that could also greatly impact how much money we get, because our campus heavily relies on high enrollment to continue having funds in the campus budget.
Yeah.
Jarvis also mentioned 50 or 48% from last fiscal year. The number might be a little off, but around 40% to 50% of our budget is coming from, or from Cal State Fullerton budget is coming from student tuition and other fees like that.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, having that VP of enrollment is going to be a huge, I guess, like, way for them to stabilize their income.
Right, because the campus makes more money if they over-enroll students because of bonuses, right?
Yeah, and then that's a good thing to mention too, because CSU campus funding is also based on student body size. So if, for example, Cal State Fullerton enrolled nearly 40,000 students, it's one of the biggest campus CSUs, and therefore they get a bigger cut of the CSU funding.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just all preparation and what. What's important to look at is what Rashawn and campus leaders are going to say within the next couple months. And then also just awaiting on what the budget is going to look like come June. Yeah. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah. Good news, guys. This is really good news, guys.
Lesson right now.
Yeah, good news, guys. Yeah. I think.
Hey Titans, you already know who I am, but just in case you don't, it's Kabir Kansara, your News Tonight editor. Just letting you know that we're releasing a special edition tabloid of the newspaper all about mental health. So stay on the lookout for it next week. Follow us on all of our social media platforms at The Daily Titan and check it out on dailytitan.com to read all the stories included. Thank you.
All right, guys, we will actually not be heading over to Opinion this podcast episode because we had a column go up this week, which is more along the lines of a personal story written by a staff writer, Jaden Cabrera, about her experience being Mexican-American and how language barriers do not define your connection to your culture. So check it out on dailytitan.com. All right, flying on over to Lifestyle, we're going to be talking about Flying Samaritans, a club here on campus that volunteers their time to go across the Mexican border to provide medical aid to rural communities.
Yeah, so this is a really cool article that Catherine Habibi, our copy editor, actually wrote. So the club is really interesting because they function in conjunction with the Flying Samaritans chapter over at UCR. So basically, every third Saturday of the month, they go down to El Hongo, Mexico to help supply medical aid, even do a couple workshops and classes over there, and just overall check in on the community and provide whatever they can for them.
Yeah, I think it's cool that this is, like you said, just one chapter of a broader organization. Like, I'm not sure how many campuses they're in, but this is a pretty big, like, notable organization, as the story reports.
No, definitely. And I think what really makes this organization cool is the fact that they're so in tune with our alumni, because it's a lot of, like, you get what you give. So a lot of alumni, even though they don't necessarily have to return for the club after they graduate, they still choose to because they want to be a part of it. And for a lot of people aspiring to take part in the medical field, like regardless of where it's at, they use this club as an opportunity to get hands-on practice, like with sutures and other kind of like checking for vitals and things like that. So it's a great way for a lot of these students to not only expand their careers, but to also provide aid where they can.
Yeah, it's also cool how you mentioned that the alumni don't have to come back. The club itself is completely volunteer-based.
Yeah.
So it's really, I don't know, not to be cornball, but it's inspiring to see people would be willing to drive like 6 hours every month to go provide like medical aid. And a lot, like something that the story touched on is that the members of the club said, you know, like they go down there once a month, like I said, and so they know these people, these patients that they see. And like one of them said that it feels like a family, which is just so sweet. Like they have an actual relationship with these people and obviously they're doing good in the community.
Yeah. One of the things they really mentioned in the club was not only that do they focus on the community in El Hongo, but they also focus on making sure that the students taking part in the club are able to like expand their skill sets and also like not necessarily show off what they know, but they make sure that they incorporate everyone's skills. Like they've done engineering projects in the past where they've like worked on infrastructure and things like that because they had more engineering students volunteer. And they've done like Zumba classes and dance workshops and things like that, just depending on what the student body that's volunteering looks like. So they try to play into everyone's skills to make sure that everyone gets an opportunity to not only take part in helping the community out down there, but also to make sure that they can like progress their skills in the fields that they're pursuing. You know what I wrote this week?
No. You know why? I don't know.
Why?
I was kind of busy accepting the award for best podcast in New York City.
So while you're doing that, I was actually on the ECS lawn for Black Student Union's first ever Black Amplified event.
Wow. Yeah. Tell me about that.
I can tell you all about it. It was really cool. So basically, the Black Student Union here at Cal State Fullerton decided to host the first ever Black Amplified event, which was a music festival that consisted of not only student artists, but also like some pretty big deals. Like Trinidad James was their main headliner.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And the coverage on it was really fun to do just because of how awesome like the people that I interviewed were. Like,
yeah.
They were super, like, super, super nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got really great insight into how the whole thing functioned. Because this is the first time throwing it. So it was created by Shay Ali, who is the president of the club.
Right.
And she used her experience as an intern at Live Nation to kind of learn the inner workings of like how to throw a music festival. And she was like, I want to bring that back to my campus. I want to do something for our community.
Yeah.
And so she did. Yeah. So she wanted to host the event to bring what she learned from Live Nation back to the campus. And in doing this, she got together with the vice president of the club, Joyce. And together they put on this whole thing where they not only like reached out to like ASI and Golden Voice for help, but they also made sure that they included their community in the entire planning process. So like the MCs were members of VSU, like the photo booth was supplied by an intern of VSU and things like that. So it was a really cool event to see how they brought the community together to like play to everyone's strengths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was the actual event? Like what, like who performed?
It was really, really cool. I mean, I saw a lot of, like, up-and-comers because, like, everyone there, it wasn't even just, like, oh, they're a student, let them perform. It was, like, no, it was high-quality performances from start to finish.
That's awesome.
It was really, really cool. Phoenix Wonder was there. Big guy on our campus.
He's a student here, right?
Yeah. Like, fifth-year communications major, Phoenix Wonder. Right. Yeah, Phoenix Wonder.
Yes. Who else performed? Someone from Cal State San Bernardino, right?
Cal State Dominguez Hills. Nasir was there as well. I got an interview with him. He was really cool. It was really cool to kind of just see what the music scene at other Cal State campuses kind of look like and what it sounds like coming out of there. Because, like, Cal State Dominguez Hills is more in the LA area.
Yeah.
So hearing more of the LA sound on a Fullerton campus, that was really cool.
It's definitely, like, it's interesting how different, like, campus to campus is, like, you know, music scene wise.
No, definitely. It was really cool to just see everyone kind of get together. Roshan was there as well, President Roshan.
That's crazy.
I got an interview with him.
That's so
That was like a highlight of my day, actually.
I love when our campus has, like, just across the board from any club, I love when we have big events that, like, other students from other Cal States come to, because it's just like, yeah, that's us.
Yeah.
For real, that's us. Like, we just have cool things.
No, definitely. And it was just so... One of the things that I also picked up, like, as I was working on, like, reporting on the event and getting my interviews in, was also just, like, a sense of, like, wanting to inspire other events like this on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in my interview with one of the MCs, Jordan, he mentioned that, like, a big part of throwing this event and making sure that everything went off without a hitch was to show other clubs, like, hey, this is something, like, we should all be doing. Like, every club should be throwing their own event. Like, everyone should be, like, taking part in, like, putting on for their community.
Yeah.
And that was really cool to hear. And also to hear them mention how important it was for this to be the inaugural one. Like, they want to do this again and again. They want to make sure, like, that...
Yeah. That was one of the, like, coolest parts of the article, I think, where, like, not only the president, but I forget who said it, but someone else who you interviewed for the article, like, said they want this to continue on and they want to build something here that'll go on past their time at Fullerton.
Yeah.
And I love, like, how students get involved with campus like that. You know what definitely. I'm saying? Like, it's just, like, we really do build on each other.
Yeah, that quote came from Shay Ali, the president of BSU. So if you were hosting an event like this and you were putting something on for the community,
right,
who would you want as your headlining artist?
Listen, okay, I would really want No Doubt to perform here because that's where they got their start. Gwen Stefani, the singer, she went here, but one of their famous, like, videos from the 90s, from when they were just starting out, they performed at Becker Amphitheater.
Yeah.
I would love if they could do that why I attend Cal State Fullerton, because I love that band. So I think I would fight for that. And also, they just came from here, so that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Dude, we have 1/4 of the executive branch of the Daily Titan in the room right now.
No, yeah, Isaiah.
No.
Yeah, I already guessed that one.
No, another 4th.
Another? Should I guess again?
Do you want to try?
Yeah. Is it Emily Wilson, the editor-in-chief?
How do you know these things?
Dude, my luck is just unmatched today.
Someone must be feeding you information or something.
No, I don't think so. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Jaden. Hi, Kavir. So excited to be back on this award-winning podcast.
Welcome back on the award-winning podcast.
God willing, award-winning.
God willing, it is award-winning.
God willing, we win more awards for our award-winning podcast.
Yeah.
So what are you here to talk about with us?
Cal State Fullerton softball and the Judy Garland Classic they hosted over the weekend. It was the 44th annual Judy Garland Classic. Judy Garland was a legendary Cal State Fullerton softball coach. She retired a while ago, but this tournament really draws a lot of big, big teams to Cal State Fullerton. It was their last tournament before conference play, so it was their last kind of chance to get, like, tune things up, get things ready, and they actually upset 2 nationally ranked teams.
What were the teams?
Number 5, LSU, handed them their first loss of the season, by
the way. Yeah.
And number 23, San Diego State.
So some could argue that the Tusks were up that day, I think.
Those 2 games, yes.
Yes.
The other 4 games in the tournament that they lost, maybe not. It kind of followed an interesting trajectory because they won their first game against LSU. Obviously such an emotional high comes in with handing one of the best teams in the country their first loss of the season.
Of course.
And then they lost their next 4 games. They lost Notre Dame. They lost to UCLA, also ranked. Lost to Arizona, 12-1. That was a 5-inning game. It ended early.
Wow.
Because of the mercy rule. And then they also lost 10-2 to Utah. So...
Maybe they just used up all of their luck in those 2 games, and then, like, they had none for the rest of them.
San Diego State, though, they ended on a high note because that was the last game.
Right.
Mm. And now they roll into conference with a win against San Diego State and a 13-9 overall record, which is pretty good considering the amount of talent of the teams they played.
So were there any standouts during the games?
I thought the pitching staff really stood out, especially pitchers like Trisha McCleskey, Eva Hurtado, and Liana Garcia. you know, a lot of the pitching staff transferred last year. Haley Rainey was their ace, and now she's playing for someone else. And so Stacey Chambers was the number two, also not for Cal State Fullerton. So these pitchers have really gotten the opportunity to step up. And I don't know if we made the article, but Gina Oaks-Garcia, the head coach, gave a quote saying the exact same thing, that last year, you know, they didn't get very many opportunities, but now they're here, they're pitching against some of the best teams in the country. Competing is, you know, the only thing that you can ask of the team, said Oaks-Garcia, and they did. I mean, they competed with the best of them, and they won a couple games.
Yeah.
And now they look forward to conference. And the Big West is historically a pretty good softball conference. Fullerton was picked to finish second, so it'll really be an interesting season. I think you couldn't have asked for a better pre-conference schedule. The point of playing really good pre-conference teams where you can see where you can stack up against them, and they beat some of the best teams in the country.
Definitely.
They lost to teams better than them. You kind of expect that, but they got some upsets in there, and that's really encouraging heading into the season.
No, yeah, definitely. It sounds like a good setup, like expectation-wise, for the conference coming up.
Yeah, it seems like they'll definitely be building momentum off of these wins against like SDSU and LSU for sure.
I hope so, yeah. And just hosting the talent at Cal State Fullerton, that's good for, you know, morale. Because it's their tusks are up. Everyone's tusks are up that day.
Yes, yes.
They automatic home court.
On the Cal State Fullerton premises.
Right.
Right.
When's
the next game?
They play this Friday at 5 p.m. and then a doubleheader on Saturday against UC San Diego. It's going to be in La Jolla. But yeah, this will be their first conference series of the season.
Who's their... Oh, is the game on Friday also against UC San Diego?
Yeah, all three.
Okay, wow.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah, that's how they... In softball, they do series. So three games, same team for each weekend.
Okay.
Right, right.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be covering a Daily Titan.
Tune in. If you were on the softball team, what position would you want to play?
I think I would make a really good shortstop. Mm. I think I could also do well in the outfield. I think, like, I wouldn't be able to bat. I would bat, like, less than 100. But my strike zone would be really small, so maybe I'd get walked.
Oh, definitely. Get on base, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Jaden, if you were on the softball team, what position would you play?
This actually pairs well with Emily's answer, because I think I could bat. That was the only thing that I was good at when we played in PE in high school. I bat. I don't know numbers because, hey, it was PE, but, like, I could actually hit the ball with the bat, which is awesome.
Probably, like, 500, 600?
Yeah, I think probably above that, even.
Yeah, maybe, like, 900?
Maybe, even? Like, 1,000, I think.
Wow, every single time?
Yes.
Well, in high school PE. Nothing less than the opinion editor, ex-podcast host, the award-winning Daily Titan.
Right. Yes. What about you?
I think I'd make a great umpire.
Yeah, well. Yeah,
off the field, awesome. Maybe off the field entirely.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I can just stay in the broadcast booth.
You can be one of the ones, you know, when they have to call in.
You know the guys that are out there doing the hot dog? Hot dog?
That could be you.
That'd be me. I'd be great at that one.
That's beautiful.
I think you're on the monitor, and then when they want to review a play, they call you and be like, Kabir, what do you think?
And you know what I would think? I think
Cal State Fullerton was safe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that you could announce. I don't know if they do this in baseball. You could announce like the people did in Harry
Potter.
What
about Potter? Like a hey batter batter, hey batter batter?
Oh,
like,
I would kill it with a hey batter batter. Yeah.
Do you want to try it for us on pod?
Yeah.
You know I would, but Frank's office is right next to us.
But just do it on like 20%
volume. I
think
you should do it.
Yeah. Hey, batter batter, hey, batter batter, hey.
That's not at all what that's supposed to sound like.
Well, anyways.
Yeah.
We're done.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
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 All right, before we get into the actual outro, I just wanted to formally boast for a second and explain this whole aforementioned award situation. This week, me and a couple other Daily Titan editors attended the Collegiate Media Association's conference in New York City, and we were honored to accept the third place award for best podcast at a national level. Along with this, we also received first place for best newsletter and second place for best single media ad. So I just wanted to say thank you to our award-winning staff, as well as our listeners and readers. And that is it for this week's episode of DT Pod. Be sure to pick up a copy of Daily Titan on campus or check us out at dailytitan.com to read the articles mentioned and more. Thank you all for listening to our award-winning podcast. And as always, if you like us, we love you. A little extra this week too, because we won an award.
All right, Titans, you know what time it is. It's time for us to wrap it up. But before we do that, you know we got to give a couple thank yous to our award-winning staff here at the Daily Titan Podcast. So first of all, a big old thank you to our executive producer, Isaiah Malari and Emily Wilson. Our producer, Luis Vizcaino, also gets another thank you. Another thank you is going out to our assistant producers, Raniel Santos and Michelle King. And another big old thank you is going out to Bijan Shusharisadeh for supplying the music that you hear in this episode. We want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in and week out and keeping up with us on the podcast, in print, and on DailyTitan.com. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. We hope to see you soon. Peace.